Afternoon.
Good afternoon, Chairperson.
Chairperson, good afternoon, and honorable members. I'm not sure if you can hear me.
Yes, no, afternoon, Minister. We can hear you.
I think you're muted, Chairperson. I can't hear you.
Maybe the host has muted me, but on my side, I'm not
unless
muted.
Unless it is my network, yeah.
Maybe so, because we can hear you properly. I can hear you properly this side.
It looks like it's a net. I don't know what to say. I can't hear you, Chairperson. I don't know if you can hear me.
I can hear you and I can see you.
And we can hear him too. Hi, Chairperson.
Good afternoon, Wif. How are you?
Afternoon to everyone.
Thank you very much. Can you hear me now, Minister?
I don't know if they can hear me or not. Oh, I switched the volume. Can you hear me now, Chairperson?
We have heard all your gossips.
Yeah, no, I had switched the volume. I just remember now. That's why, afternoon.
No, afternoon, afternoon, Minister. I think it would be important that if there are slides to be projected or flighted, they are done now. We are left with 2 minutes before we start.
No, Jay, I don't have a slide to project.
Okay, no, that's fine.
I will just speak from the notes.
Okay. Maybe we should start, Minister. Good afternoon, everybody. We have 3 items on the agenda for today. We will deal with firstly, the political overview by the Minister of Justice and Correctional Services on the 2019-2020 annual performance of the Department of Justice and Constitutional Development, the Department of Correctional Services and the Office of the Chief Justice. And then thereafter, we would have a brief discussion on the program. I think the program is circulated to members to look at it. And then the last one, it will be a brief discussion. Generally, it's more of an announcement on the South African Human Rights Commission vacancies. The discussion on the program, it would be important even for ministers' benefit to go into it immediately after we have dealt with the political overview, because it has a bearing. We are proposing a date on which we should discuss the issue of the NCCS, because we would like to have it processed before we adjourn. So that program will also touch on those issues. So it would be important that either the minister or the ministry, we are able to agree on the dates. We have the dates that are proposed to look at the availability of the minister, so that we can have this matter dealt with as soon as possible. So that will be the agenda for today, members. Are we fine with the agenda as proposed?
Yes, Chair, thank you.
Thank you very much. Can I hand over now to the minister to take us through the political overview?
Thank you very much, Chairperson of the committee, honorable members, senior management of the department of all the departments under our leadership, ladies and gentlemen, members of the public. I am coming to you, Chairperson, from the newly built Zanini Correctional Facility that we have opened officially today. It is an addition to our 13 new generation facilities that have been built since the dawn of democracy. It's a continuation of a chapter in the life of corrections. I also wish to thank the Portfolio Committee for the opportunity to provide this political overview for all the departments. Honorable members, as you are fully aware, annual reports provide us with an opportunity to hold up a mirror to ourselves and assess what has gone right and also what might have went wrong. Honorable members, in the Department of Justice and Constitutional Development, performance is worryingly on a continuous decline. This decline stems from the fact that over the past couple of years, a culture of underperformance and little accountability without consequences has entrenched itself. Most concerning, honorable members, the department had at times unreasonably delayed filling critical vacancies across the board. As members have correctly pointed out, performance is not about ticking boxes, but it's about changing people's lives. Ours is to make the justice system more accessible and to enable as much as possible the participation of the lay people into our system. In the second instance, it is critical to ensure that as much as possible, we have a just criminal system which enhances the respect for the courts and obedience to the rule of law. These are not boxes to be ticked, but real-life problems. As the ministry, our assessment is that the administration needs to be re-engineered significantly for it to meet the expectations of South Africans, and we are currently spearheading this process. I can state that rebuilding this critical part of our administration is in progress. The department is in desperate need of renewal. We hope that upon the conclusion of the public administration and cabinet process, the new Director General will add impetus into the renewal process of the Department of Justice and Constitutional Development. We have appointed the Chief Master and the DDG Corporate Services. The appointment of the Chief Master and the Deputy Director General for Corporate Services have been long overdue. Nonetheless, these appointments give us the opportunity to reinvigorate the Master's office, and also the level of corporate services we now have gives us an opportunity to ensure that we attract the best personnel in the right places. But also, it will help us to drive the project or the program to fill the other vacancies in the department. Having said that, honorable members, in our 15,000 strong workforce, there are thousands of people who are diligent, are at the forefront of making our justice system more accessible. During COVID-19, these civil servants served South Africans across 2,283 courtrooms and 748 courthouses. Sadly, some of these diligent workers have succumbed to the pandemic. From Wednesday, 25 November, to Sunday, 29 November 2020, which have been declared as the 5 days of national mourning, we will be paying tribute to 6 magistrates, 3 prosecutors, and 7 administrative staff whom we have lost to COVID-19. Honorable members, having assessed the department's performance, I have called on the senior management in the department to conduct a root cause analysis of the problems we see in the department. This is also to ensure that we develop a rescue plan as recommended by this August committee. This rescue plan will set in motion plans to address the concerns of the portfolio committee, the auditor general, the internal audit committee, and the audit committees immediately. Furthermore, Chairperson, it is absolutely critical that senior management take accountability and lead from the front in addressing the challenges. In the root cause analysis, we have identified the following areas within senior management which needs urgent attention. One, high-level leadership instability, the lack of capacity, lack of proper performance management, lack of decisive decision-making, no defined organizational culture leading to a culture of non-performance, lack of ethical tool in the department. The following actions will have to be undertaken by the end of the current financial year. Firstly, realign the microstructure. Secondly, the implementation of the corrective actions and consequence management. Thirdly, a skills audit will be conducted to assess the skill set of our middle and senior management. These three tasks are critical and must be implemented without delay. It's a mandate we have given to the current senior management of the department. Honorable members, the supporting of the reconstruction of the National Prosecuting Authority remains an ongoing task. This is ultimately the reconstruction of the state itself. Whilst we exercise political oversight over the NPA, their operations and decisions to prosecute or not are independent from any form of political interference. They should prosecute without any fear, favor, or prejudice. Therefore, ensuring it has all the capacity to address all manner of ills that manifest themselves in our society is critical, and this includes corruption. It is against this background that the President has appointed also senior managers at the NPA, the National Deputy Directors of a Public Prosecution. He appointed three during this period. We will continue to find every rand and cent in the system to capacitate this institution. Capacitating the NPA is an investment to not only regain confidence for the rule of law, but also to recoup all the monies which have been lost to corruption. Honorable members, in the midst of extraordinary challenges and uncertainty, Chairperson, I think I made a mistake. It's two, not three, senior national deputy directors of public prosecutions. In the midst of extraordinary challenges and uncertainty, as a result of the COVID-19 outbreak, which has affected every sphere of society, political and economic, social and technological, environment and the legal sphere, the correctional services environment is not an exception. It is indeed a fact that COVID-19 pandemic has caused huge disruption in the way in which we live and work. However, we have an unprecedented opportunity to learn from the current experience and draw lessons for the future, including the design of optimal systems, the design and enhanced access and quality of service, as well as cost curtailment. The department's response to the unprecedented health challenge of COVID-19 fully respects the rights and dignity of everyone under its care. Thus far, the department has handled with great aplomb the recovery rate, or is it 95% as we speak. As you are aware, Honorable Chairperson, the department releases every day daily reports in terms of the number of officials that are affected and the number of inmates. Since the beginning of COVID-19, we had a total number of 4,674 were officials, and 2,788 were inmates. And recoveries has been 7,193, and we are only left now with 137 active cases across the country. The dead cases is 132. So this chairperson has signaled that the department has handled this COVID-19 with care and also responded well. And so far as performance for the previous financial year is concerned, over the 5-year medium-term strategic framework period, 2015 to 2020, the department continued to use its allocated budget to deliver on its core programs. We have reached the highest performance for the MTMF, for the MTF period, recording 86%. This is a great improvement from the 62% in 2015-2016. The Department of Correctional Services will strive to improve its audit outcomes, which continues to be a challenge. We have a roadmap that we have adopted, and this will result in us once and for all addressing issues of irregular expenditure. The department is also prioritizing consequence management, and a backlog of disciplinary processes is currently being attended to. As I speak to this committee chair, we have also prioritized in the Department of Correctional Services the filling of vacancies at senior management level. And I'm proud to state that we have also appointed 3 CDCs in the past 5 months. If there is one thing that COVID has helped us with, the chairperson, was also to get time to attend to these issues of filling of vacancies. And as we go to the office of the Chief Justice Chair, you would hear that we have also appointed there. So this period has not only been bad, but it has also been good in terms of giving us time, but also to use this kind of platforms to do our work. We remain committed to strengthen the financial management of the department. Overcrowding in the correctional facility is remain a challenge for the Department of Correctional Services. This is a multidimensional issue. The causes of overcrowding are not confined to the limits of criminal justice, but extend to other spheres of the state responsibility, such as social welfare policies, access to health services, education, employment, among others. The increase in offender population continues to present unavoidable challenges to overcrowding in the correctional facilities. The inmate population for 2019-20 was recorded at 166,449 against the approved bed space total of 120,567. We welcome the announcement by the President of the Republic, Mr. Matamela Cyril Ramaphosa, in December 2019 of the special remission, which has led to the release of 14,647 low-risk inmates into the community corrections, and through this process, overcrowding was reduced to 28%. Although the special remission of sentence assisted in alleviating overcrowding, it is important to take cognizance of the fact that a remission of sentence is not the final solution to overcrowding management, but a short-term relief, as honorable members will always raise this issue. This has indeed eased up the pressure on officials in ensuring safety and security of inmates at our correctional facilities. It has also enabled us to manage the pandemic of COVID-19. It has also led to the reduction of escapes, injuries, and unnatural deaths as compared to previous financial years. The department's multi-pronged strategy to address overcrowding is stabilizing the inmate population through various interventions, including the increase of available bed spaces through renovations, limited expansions and upgrading of correctional facilities, a reduction of awaiting trial detainees, greater integration within the criminal justice system, and progressively optimizing use of legal instruments at our disposal. We have opened the Mkandule and the Dzanini Correctional Centers. The Mkandule Correctional Center was opened on Monday by the Deputy Minister, Inkosi Phathekile Rumisa. And as I've said, when I started, we have opened the Dzanini Correctional Center, and I'm speaking from the center as we speak, Chairperson. The reason you can hear me clearly is because it's a smart, modern technology facility. And the special COVID-19 parole dispensation has also assisted us to reduce overcrowding to 15.9%. Honorable members, the NDP implores us to invest appropriately and build comprehensive partnerships to close the proverbial revolving door by limiting the chances of citizens relapsing into a life of crime. The department remains committed to reduce recidivism by ensuring that our correctional facilities are transformed into safe and secure spaces that are truly rehabilitative. Providing the best correctional services for South Africa remains our vision. Therefore, the work done during the year under review was informed by the need to create an environment that will strengthen safety and security and enhance offender rehabilitation. Our continued focus on delivering a more sustainable and effective correctional system is thus in keeping with the call of the department's vision. With regards to the Office of the Chief Justice, the NDP calls for a need of a strategy to strengthen the independence of the judiciary. The establishment of the OCJ is one of the strategies to strengthen judicial governance and the rule of law. It also seeks to address court administration inefficiencies that denude people of their right to access justice as espoused in the NDP. Chapter 4 of the NDP also provides that judicial governance concerns independence and accountability of the judicial branch of the state and encompasses issues such as administration of the courts. The Constitution entrusts me with the responsibility to rationalize the courts with a view to establish a single judicial system that is in line with the provisions of Section 166 of the Constitution. This is a continuous responsibility that requires the executive branch of the state to work together with the judiciary. The Department of Justice and Constitutional Development will also continue with its efforts of supporting the OCJ as it plays a critical role that displays governance commitments to ensuring that all South Africans have the assurance that our constitutional democracy is guided by an independent judiciary. The fulfillment of this vision is continuously being made possible by, amongst others, the support provided to the OCJ. Measures and systems have been put in place to ensure that we continue to fulfill our mandate of supporting the judiciary in an effective and efficient manner. And as I said earlier on, Honorable Chairperson, also in the Office of the Chief Justice were filled senior vacancies at the level of the DDG to continue the strengthening of their work. If I'm not mistaken, it's about three DDGs that were also filled in that office. Hence, I have said one of the advantages of the COVID-19 was to give us an opportunity to attend to this important task of filling vacancies. The following are some of the successes of the OCJ since establishment. The provision of technical support to the Chief Justice in his international obligations in view of the Constitutional Court's membership to the World Conference on Constitutional Justice and Conference of Constitutional Jurisdictions of Africa. The vacancy rate is currently at 7.2% below the 10% target. Improvement in the audit outcome and qualified audit outcomes in the 2016-17 and clean audit outcome in two consecutive financial years. The department achieved 74% of its targets in 2015-16, 90% in 2016-17, 100% in 2017-18, and 90% in 2018-2019. The acquisition of new offices accommodation for the OCJ National Office, capacitation of judges' presidents' offices with the support to manage court performance information, appointment of statisticians in all superior courts, and the operationalization of the Limpopo Division of the High Court and the Mpumalanga Division of the High Court as part of improving access to justice for all. In conclusion, Chairperson, I want to assure honorable members that we have heeded their calls. There will be no room for complacency in the department. We will hold officials accountable and turn around the department. The era of lack of consequent management for poor performance is over. Those who are not willing to perform as required will be dealt with harshly. South Africans deserve nothing but a better service, and we are at the disposal of the people of South Africa. Thank you very much, Chairperson, for the opportunity.
Thank you very much, Minister, for the political overview. I will now note members who would want to make inputs on the political overview by the Minister. I've noted Honorable Horn, Honorable Glenis Breitenbach, in that order, Honorable Jacqueline Mfokeng, Honorable Nebo Trachten, Honorable Steven Swart. Let's start with Honorable Horn.
Thank you, Chairperson, and Thank you for the minister for, I want to say, finally finding the time to do the political overview. It's good to hear that you have a busy diary, Minister.
Sorry, Honorable Horn. I think one mistake that Minister, I think you should correct immediately. You talked about magistrates that left us because of COVID-19 and the prosecutors, but there was also a judge of the High Court. I think it would be important that that is corrected.
Yes, there was also a judge of the High Court in the Eastern Cape Provincial Division.
Thank you very much. Sorry, Honorable Horn, for that interruption. You may proceed.
Thank you, Chair. Minister, the reality is that I think you, like in the past, it performs very well in analyzing the weaknesses and the difficulties at the departments for which you are responsible. And I think, obviously, we have to commend you on, once again, listing the issues that is in need of urgent attention from your side and from leadership side in these departments. However, I think what is lacking is an explanation as to why the critical issues that you listed last year remain critical issues. So, for example, it is good to hear that consequence management remains a top priority in order to address poor performance and maladministration and possible corruption within the ranks of the department. But we cannot turn a blind eye to the fact that on all objective scores, very little in terms of consequence management at least the Department of Justice and the Department of Correctional Services materialized over the last 12 months since your last overview in terms of the annual report. So I think we must ask for more details as to A, why this did not really materialize, and B, what will be done differently in the upcoming 12 months to make this really happen. Minister, similarly, I think it is to be welcomed where senior management vacancies are being filled, but it must be said that it remains a concern that the Director General in the Department of Justice position has not been filled. And I think if one takes into account the admission from the Deputy Minister, the other side, that the position, while technically not yet vacant, really was for all practical purposes vacant for months before the previous Director General really vacated the seat, we cannot overstress the fact that this is a big concern, given the fact that even on your analysis, the lack of accountable and effective leadership is one of the core issues that has led to the further deterioration in performance at the Department of Justice. Then, Chair, with your permission, I want to turn to a few issues which, unfortunately, the Minister has not addressed in his political overview and which I think must be placed on his agenda as something that needs urgent attention. The first is the whole issue of ICT at both the Department of Justice and Correctional Services, where the one thing that COVID as a knife has cut open for all to see is the fact that the hundreds of millions of rands spent in respect of the development or the attempted development that an integrated criminal justice system and an integrated inmate management system has really been money that has been thrown down the drain. There's very little, if anything, to show for these projects that, in the case of the integrated criminal justice system, has come over more than a decade, and in the case of the integrated inmate management system, has proceeded despite fair warning to the department that this is a stillborn project. And I want to urge the minister to update the committee as to what his involvement in arresting this situation at these departments will be, because we simply cannot have a situation where if these projects are not going to ever be successful, that we continue to throw good money that this country does not have after bad problems. So if the minister can address that issue, it would be appreciated. Similarly, and I know we've dealt with it to an extent during even the oral question session, the minister is urged to deal decisively with the fact that capital expenditure in terms of the built program of both the Department of Justice and DCS is simply not value for money. And we're equally glad with him that he can finally address us from a completed Tzaneen correctional facility. But the fact that he's speaking from there is just a perfect example of how the people's money has been squandered by DCS with capital built projects that must ease overcrowding over the last years. This project was announced in 2007, 13 years ago. It was twice stopped because, ironically so, the same contractor twice went bankrupt. And this is not something that will go away unless there is decisive action. And it is of a concern to me that the minister has not mentioned this as something that has his attention and that will get his decisive intervention. And then lastly, Chair, the one other issue that has not been mentioned by the minister, and we've previously said it, COVID-19 and the tension between the minister and the Chief Justice has with decisiveness shown that the final settlement about our court administration model is something that must be done in order to ensure that there is not more than the necessary tension between the executive arm and the judicial arm of the state. So it is of a concern that we are forever only being told that cabinet and an interministerial committee and a subcommittee is now dealing with a further proposal. But this issue is also coming with us since the late 2000, the first part of 2000. The first models that were presented come from 2009 onwards, and 11 year onwards, there's no finality in respect of that issue. Lastly, Chair, although I'm fully aware that the minister is not the primary role player in this respect, I would have hoped to also hear from the minister as to what plans the security cluster, in which he plays a vital and a leading role, is making to address the situation of high profile people, not always necessarily even South Africans, who escape facing justice in our country. We've had the Guptas, we've had Omar al-Bashir, and the last example is now in this week with the self-proclaimed Shepherd Bushiri, who now apparently sits very smugly in. Our justice system. So I would have hoped that you would have addressed this blot.
The department is in a continuous decline. It's a matter of serious concern. The inability to turn the performance of the department around. You have been there for some time now, and you have had the opportunity to make an impact. We'd like to see the results of this.
Smoke? Oh, you got a lighter too. Good.
They want to up to 3. I'm settling any time. Winner.
No, just an ad for the ad. I thought it was my dad. And a quick
Jacqueline. Jacqueline motherfucking. Damn.
That's not
with the clock of the which one? Suppose you could.
Stop.
Make coffee.
I'm sorry it's noisy, but I don't want to record when it's in the earphones. Your meeting. Oh, sorry, my love. Oh, so
easy label. You see?
Thank you. Wait. You know, Bonky.
Okay.
You are thinking like this.
Hello. Get my horses.
Hello.
please.
They are so that there's huge amounts of money that are also owed to the office of the state attorney. I think what worries us with this in particular, Honorable Chair, is that the government departments do not mind to not to pay us for any of the issues that they are supposed to pay, the disbursements, the money is due for advocates and so forth. But they do. They don't have. They do mind to pay us. They do. They create all manner of reasons, and they don't pay. But when they go to brief private lawyers outside the office of the state attorney, they pay with no qualms. They have no problem effecting payments, and those legal practitioners get paid and all that kind. So this is another grey area that we are looking at ways with the Solicitor General of how do we close this gap so that also ourselves are not affected and depleted by the departments that do not pay for the disbursements and other issues that relate to what is due to the Office of the State Attorney. Whether we have the capacity for to implement the draft bills, indeed, it's a difficult challenge which we are still in engagement even within ourselves and in the entire security cluster. But the reality is that we'll have to find the means and the resources to implement the bills because they are an outcome of discussions between government and civil society. And how do we plan to, how will we plan to deal with the issues of lack of capacity? Obviously, this is one of the issues where we have got a plan in terms of filling of the vacancies for all the departments. But also, capacity is not only human resource. It is also having the budget to implement the plan of those departments. So with all these budget cuts, it creates an implementation challenge, which we still have to find ways to live without the some of these resources that have been there in the past. The what is the role of the audit committees and the internal audit committees? They continue to play their role and give us some flags and raise the issues in terms of the audit that from time to time they see in terms of risks in the department. Obviously, it's not as easy for them because they are internal and so forth, but we encourage that they should be able to do their job without any fear, favor, or anything because they should be our own internal watchdogs in the department. I think I have answered the one of what percentage would these positions that they've been filled cover. The issue of how we're going to evaluate this, I think it's already in terms of the APPs, but also ourselves as the members of the executive have signed an agreement with the president, which is measurable and which will enable members of society, including the committee, to measure our performance against that performance agreement that we have signed with the president, and also the issues that we have committed here in terms of the turnaround strategy that is now being developed in the Department of Justice are issues that the committee will be able to hold us accountable for and be able to evaluate whether we are getting there or not. On the issue of the Zanini facility, Chair, whether it's a success or not, I think we should look it the other way around, Chairperson, in that when it was not being operationalized and open, the committee was complaining, saying, but you have been threatening to open this Zanini center. You have been saying you will operationalize it for the past years. It's not happening. So now it has happened. We have now operationalized the center, and we want it to be fully operational soon. And if you look at the stats, even though it is not fully operational now, but with the number that it has taken of about 200 and something, it has already reduced the rate of overcrowding in the entire province in the entire region of LMN. So its contribution is significant. And I think the fact that it has taken 10 years to build, it's obviously a concern. The Deputy Minister of Public Works, DM Nkolo Kivet, was also here. And she has promised that we will not have this kind of situation in the future, but they are not really in our hands. The best way could be for us to have our own facility unit that will be able to project manage and have a dynamic relationship with the public works, and also or whoever might be an implementing agent for the department with regards to the backlog of our infra in terms of infrastructure. The issue of guarding of security in the courts, Chair, I think you have asked a very good question, because it's a question that we have also asked the management ourselves in the department. And the chairperson will be pleased to know that maybe in the past 2 or 3 months, one of the reasons why the department has been extending the current contract is because they are doing a feasibility study to answer exactly that question, whether we need private security, what could be the rule that we can play ourselves and the SAPS, because the courts are adjacent in most of the parts of the country to the South African police services. What is it that we can leverage from them, and where we may really still need a private security, what level and how and where, and what is the level of security that we need in each and every court. So that will be answered by that feasibility study that is ongoing, Chair, and hopefully soon we will be able to have an answer, because it is also a question that has always been in our minds. Thank you very much, Chairperson. I hope I have answered most of the questions. If not, I will request the DMs to also come in.
Thank you very much, Minister. DMs, do you want to say something?
Yeah, good afternoon, Chairperson, the honorable members, Minister. I don't think, Chairperson, there's much that one can add to the comprehensive presentation that the Minister has given. Save just to emphasize the challenges that are facing us when we are trying to fill the vacancies, for instance, that have been there for quite some time. In the sense that when we seek, for instance, to ensure that we comply with the Employment Equity Act, in terms of gender equity, a number of vacancies that were filled, we find that we are not able to meet that requirement of ensuring gender equity and also racial equity, if you like, because we often find that very few female candidates put up their hands for consideration for appointment, and we end up having to deviate from the requirement by employing more male members in those positions. We are aware that we are in a position, as we've been made to understand, that, for instance, we can do some head hunting, but the pressure we have for us to fill these vacancies, it's just that sometimes that is not a feasible or viable option, because we, at the end of the day, we end up having some of our funds taken back by Treasury because we have not been able to use them. But we are trying all we can to look into that. Regarding the matter of relief on the overcrowding that we suffer. At the current moment, as of the 17th of November, out of the 19,000 offenders that qualify for the presidential, what you call parole, in terms of the COVID-19 incident, we have so far released some 13,008 parolees, which is giving some relief to the overcrowding that we are suffering, which means that if my arithmetic is correct, over 15-7 working days, we should have released the requisite number. But of course, we have to bear in mind that at all times we have to ensure that the requirements that have to be taken into consideration by the parole board are not neglected, and therefore we find ourselves in that kind of situation. And as the minister said, we are indeed effecting at the Department of Correctional Services disciplinary measures to ensure that there are some consequences, as has been indicated. Some have resigned, some have decided some have been disciplined, some have been given warnings, some have been fined, and so on and so on. But there's a lot that we still need to do. For instance, the matter of self-sufficiency is a matter that we have to work on very vigorously. We have so much talent, both talent that came with the officials, the offenders when they were incarcerated, and also those who acquired these skills through the rehabilitation programs, but we still continue to get services and goods outside of our facilities. And our goal as a ministry is to ensure that as soon as possible we are able to produce goods and services for ourselves, so that we are not in a situation where we have to buy stuff that we should be in a position to produce and acquire from within our own entities. We have taken a decision that there must be a trading entity that has to ensure that beyond our self-sufficiency in terms of what we produce, we are able to sell some of the products to other sister departments and even outside of our centers. But as you would know, Chairperson, bureaucratic red tape and requirement to consult and get the buy-in from other departments, particularly Treasury, do tend to slow down the pace at which we are supposed to be performing what was wanted to do. But as I said, the minister, in my view, has covered everything that we were in a position to raise, unless there are more questions that have arisen out of the responses that he has given. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Deputy Minister. I don't see any further hands from members. I guess that they are covered. Honourable Sword?
No, I wondered if the DM would have responded to the issue I raised about people dealing with the admission of guilt fines and the impact that criminal records have on job seekers, and when the department envisages that they will bring that draft amendment, given the committee's already response on this issue in our committee reports. I'm not sure. I don't think that was covered yet.
Okay. I think, Chairperson, I will request that we allow the acting DG to respond to this question of Mr. Son.
Thank you very much, acting DG.
Thank you, Chair. I think I can respond to the question insofar as where we are with the preparation of the bill. A draft is prepared, and it was not on the legislative program for this year, we've just prepared another amendment in respect of the record of children being published following a court case. The expungement and the admission of guilt matter is in development. I haven't spoken to the officials in that to give you a more detailed report, but if I can have 5 minutes, I can come back on this platform just to advise where we are with it.
Thank you very much. Minister, how far is the land court bill? It's one of the issues you promised when you took over that it's your priority, so that we can have one of the issues you raised that the judges of the land court should be made permanent. I'm raising this because one of the challenges that we have had is inability to plan our program properly, because we always make space once we are given an indication that we will be getting a bill from the department. We try to filter that into our program. And as a result, other areas of our oversight are suffering. For instance, since we have started as a committee, we have not been able to go on an oversight visit of any kind, except in situations where members have on their own volition decided to do some oversight like Honorable Nivot Drakhand did. But we would like to have a more predictable legislative program so that we know what to expect when we are promised that we are able to know that for sure we will be able to get so we have that issue of the land claim of the land court. We have how far will it take to have this policy on lower courts? Because what we think is important is that we need to have the Pareto principle, which says what are the 20% of the things, if you do them properly, would produce 80% of the results.
Not okay. What. Thank you, Chair. Honorable Nivut who did it. Also, Honorable Brackenbach has reported herself that she barged into the master's office there in Cape Town.
I was still reflecting. I think what should be our guiding principle is that we need to really identify in terms of impact to our people 20% of the things that are going to produce 80% of the results, and not 80% of the things that are going to produce 20% of the results. So I think that land court bill is very important, linked to the developments that are taking place, like the amendment of Section 25 of the Constitution and all of those issues. But we really do appeal to the department that what we have been promised should be delivered on time, so that we do have a time to do other issues of oversight. For instance, we are really struggling to strike a balance between doing oversight over justice and doing oversight over correctional services. It's a difficult balance. In fact, it's not achievable. But it is made worse when our program is unpredictable. Thank you, Minister.
Yeah, no, thank you very much, Chairperson. On the land court bill, I think we have reached some level of satisfactory in terms of the bill. As you are aware, Chair, we had thought that the bill will be will not be difficult. It is we have realized that it's not as simple as just saying it's just to make the judges permanent. The bill will have a wider impact in terms of the legislations that will have to come under the land court, not only the restitution claim, the various legislations that comes through in terms of the Section 25 of the Constitution. So it will broaden the scope of the land court, and then also we believe it will have a much wider impact in terms of the jurisprudence with regards to the land issues in the country. Hence, we had to consult extensively with various departments and some few stakeholders that are within the space. But I can confirm now that the IMC on land reform has now okayed the bill. It is now in the process of going through the cabinet cluster processes. Our aim is that it should be finalized by cabinet before the end of the current day of this year's cabinet cycle, so that we can introduce it. We are hopeful that could happen, Chairperson. We don't know whether it will, because sometimes the cabinet processes also sometimes could be, we may not have control over those processes, but we are putting all efforts to ensure that that happens. It is done before the end of this period, and we are able to introduce it to this committee as expeditiously as possible. On the policy with regards to the lower courts, I would request the acting DG to come in. I'm not sure if Advocate Kosana is also in the platform, who could give some insight on the matter.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chief. I may come in first before Advocate Kosana can speak to the policy issue on the lower courts. Let me start with the admission of guilt and the Criminal Procedure Amendment Bill. I can confirm that a draft bill has been sent to the Deputy Minister after we met with him about 2 weeks ago. He raised certain questions of a policy nature which we are still to resolve with him. But this bill is in an advanced stage, and the question is whether we introduce it as a judicial matter or as a separate bill, among others. So the Deputy Minister will have a look at the bill, and then we'll be ready to go forward with that matter from here. On the land court, I just want to confirm with the Minister that what the Minister has said, that we've taken the bill to the Development Committee, and the next is for it to go through the structures to get to cabinet before the end of December, and to sit at the last cabinet meeting. That is our plan. On the lower courts bill, Chairperson, we sourced extra capacity to assist us in this work, and we have dealt with some of the questions that must be done, and our target is to introduce this bill by the 31st March next year. And we intend to do so, Chairperson. JB, I think if you want to come in on those questions on the lower court's policy matters.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Minister. Yes, just to add on what the acting DJ said, there's a task team which has been established, which I'm part of, and we worked flat out to get the bill, the draft bill, into space, and all the policy processes have now been fleshed out. And I think in terms of the approach is to have a kind of a consultative process between now and mid January, so that we can then go through the introductory processes before the end of the financial year. I think the intention is to publish the bill for comment so that we can basically harvest the wisdom and the benefits that will come from the process, so that by February or so, the minister is able to consider all the views, all the inputs before he presents the bill to cabinet, and then thereafter to be introduced into parliament. The important thing about the bill, it also addresses some of the what the members have basically raised around how it aligns the Superior Courts Act of 2013, which already starts to deal with certain court administration processes. This has been kind of a phased-in approach. I think the issue pertains to the judicial functions of the Chief Justice, the role of the heads of courts, and how the distinction between administrative part and judicial functions have largely been dealt with, and the lower courts bill will then deal with that second part that relates to the lower courts, and I think then it will then pave the way for the finalization of the comprehensive process on the court administration, so that it can conclude this long outstanding discourse. And I think it has been delayed because we cannot deal with court administration in the absence of dealing with the court restructuring. We had best to deal with the court restructuring processes and then distinguish and delineate the functions and get to the core functions and oversight in terms of administration process. But I think there's been quite positive outcomes around the process underway, and we are very hopeful that we are not going to let down the committee in terms of the target dates for the introduction of the bill. The minister will be able to meet this deadline. Thanks, Chair, and thanks, Minister, and members.
Thank you very much. Acting DG, you have raised your hand.
Sorry, Chair, that was from earlier. My apologies. I'll lower it.
Thank you very much. Well, thank you very much, Minister. We hope that you will take our concerns to Cabinet on the judicial governance, that this needs finality as soon as possible. We are concerned with the time it takes. We hope that you would take that to Cabinet, that we are concerned about the time it is taking. DM Olumisa, do you want to say something?
Yes, something small but significant, Chairperson. The correctional center that was opened on Monday this week in the Eastern Cape is at Ngqamakwe, not at Mqanduli. I just wanted to put that on the record so that people don't think there's a newly refurbished correctional center and Mqanduli in Ngqamakwe, still in the Eastern Cape, Minister.
No, I think the minister assumed that,
No, thank you very much. Thank you very much, Minister, for the presentation, and thanks to the department and to the deputy ministers. I saw the National Director of Private Prosecution was also with us. Thank you very much for being part of the meeting. Can we deal with the issue of the NCSS? We, in terms of the program here, because Minister, it does affect you because you are the one who has to appoint. We are proposing that we deal with the matter on the 2nd of December. That will be on Wednesday. The challenge with you that I think you would raise is that you would be attending either a cabinet subcommittee or cabinet. It could either be you or be anyone, be the deputy minister who presents it, because we do take note that it needs to be finalized as soon as possible. Comments, Minister?
I do not get a date. You said 6th December.
2nd December.
Oh, 2nd. Okay. No, I think that's fine, Chair. If I'm not able to come, I will request the DM.
Okay. So
we also agree that it's important that we finalize it with the committee.
Yes, and we'd agreed that we'll be getting the CVs electronically, so that we can go through them. I have not been advised by the committee secretariat that we have received those CVs. The sooner we get them, the better. Thank you very much, Minister. Members, the program has been circulated. I'm not sure whether you do have it in front of you.
Yes, we do, Chair.
Chairperson, can we request a leave of the departure? We have to drive back to Gauteng from Benin.
Oh, they are driving to Mkandoli. No, thank you very much, Minister. Thank you. I think there will be no problem. I think we have done all the issues that we needed you for. I think we are just left with 5 minutes with members just to go through a few issues, but I think the ministry will be excused. I think we have dealt with the issue that needed you.
Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you very much. Honorable members, let's first deal with the issue of the program. As you were, the program has been circulated. I think just for ease of reference, I will just go through it. We have dealt with the political overview by the minister today. And next week, Tuesday, we will be getting a briefing by the Department of Correctional Services on the adult report with particular emphasis on the audit outcomes. I must say, members, that until late yesterday, when I last spoke to Mr. Mthonjene, the Auditor General has not yet finalized the audit outcomes of the Department of Correctional Services. So this date might change, but we will keep you updated, and we'll also be getting guidance from Parliament in case the worst happens, what would be advisable. But for the purposes of some form of certainty, we have scheduled the Department of Correctional Services for the 24th of November, which will be next week, Tuesday, at 9:30. And then Wednesday, we will receive a briefing from the Department of Correctional Services. Remember that we have an outstanding meeting with the DG of the Department of Correctional Services with regard to the issues of with regard to the state of readiness to implement the GBV bills. So that will be on the 25th of November. Then the next one, the next meeting would be the consideration and the adoption of the committee reports on the 1st of December. But that is also, I mean, we will be guided by Parliament as to what happens to the Department of Correctional Services. And then we would also be getting a briefing from the NPA, the Asset Forfeiture Unit. It's what we promised that we would invite them for a specific detailed briefing from their side. So that will be on the 1st of December. And then our last meeting for the year will be on the 2nd of December, which will be the appointment of the NCCA and a discussion on the committee program for 2021. It would be important that for the 2nd of December, we should do some form of an evaluation of the year and some plans for the next year, so that we don't know how this COVID will, how long it will take us. So we might not have the opportunity we had last year of going somewhere. So it's important that at least by the time we go on recess, I think it was the recommendation by the committee that we should have some form of a planning session. We do evaluation of the year and plan for the next year. That is the proposed program, members. Can I get comments?
Chairperson.
Honorable Mfuke.
Thank you very much. I think what I see today, we're supposed to also discuss on the South African Human Rights Commission's vacancies. It's on the program there.
Yes, we're coming to that, Honorable Mfuke.
Okay, I saw that you're already at the end. Thank you.
Yes, now I was just going through the program because I understand that it was circulated late, so I thought that I must just go through it so that members would know, even if they've not had the opportunity to open their laptops to read their emails. Honorable Holomisa? Honorable DM Holomisa? Honorable Nivo Drachen. Honorable Nivo Drachen.
Sorry, Chair, there's another technical difficulty. The other interpreter will take over. If the host can spotlight Wilma, please. Okay, this is Wilma. On the 2nd of December, the NCCA, I just want to find out, Chair, will it still have to go to the House after the committee passes it? So I'm just concerned in terms of the date. Once the committee is done with NCCA, does it have to go to the House? Thank you.
Thank you very much. I think the way I understand it, it's a ministerial appointment that has to be done in consultation with the committee, only with regard to the four people, but generally I don't think it goes to the House, but we have members here in part of the last parliament, Honorable Breitenbach, Honorable Swart, Honorable Horn. Maybe they can further guide us. Honorable Breitenbach?
Yeah, what is the problem? Sorry, I'm having a bit of difficulty being on the phone and on this meeting.
The NCCA, is it supposed to go to the House?
Last time, the minister just made the appointments and then informed the committee. So I don't believe it has to go to the House now, but I could be wrong. I'm not at all sure.
Yeah, well, that is also my understanding, that it's a ministerial appointment, but that with regards to people, it must be in consultation with the committee, yes. Not the House.
I don't believe it went to the House the last time, because there was a lot of dissatisfaction on the committee that he hadn't consulted the committee. He had made the appointments and then just informed us. But I don't believe it ever went to the House, no.
Okay. But I think we will further double check, but I still think that it does not need to go to the House, but the committee needs to be consulted, but we will further double check and advise members.
Thanks.
I hope that answers you, Honorable Lenivold. Members, are we fine with the program?
Yes, Chair, thank you.
Yes, Chair, thank you.
Program's fine, thank you.
Thank you very much. Members, can we go to the issue of the South African Human Rights Commission? We have received a permission or referral from the Speaker for the two vacant positions. One is a vacant position as a result of the passing away of Ambassador Jana, and then the other one, the commissioner's term is coming to an end, so we need to make those advertisements. So, but we need, before we can advertise, we need a committee to agree that we proceed.
Please, let's proceed, please.
Chair, I think we should proceed because the other one is expiring in January anyway, the end of January.
Thank you very much. And I do think that one of the issues that I would ask permission from the committee is to approach maybe the Speaker's office of the possibility of maybe extension by 2 months or so that we because we will come back in January, and in January we will have to do the shortlisting. Then you have the 2 weeks where in which you must allow the members of the public to comment, and during that time you have to do some form of clearance, and then thereafter you have to do the interviews, and the House will not be sitting until after the State of the Nation address. So for all intents and purposes, we would not meet the 21st January 2021 for it to go to the House. So it would only serve before the House on the sometime in February. So we would need guidance as to whether there would be any challenge if we don't meet the deadline, or whether there will be any need for an extension. Do I get that permission, members? Thank you very much. Okay. The last issue is more of an announcement. The state law attorneys have certified the bill, the Correctional Services Bill, but it has not yet been referred to us. I would also ask that once it is referred, I'd be given a go-ahead so that we can advertise. We would need to meet the deadline of the 21st May. We must take into consideration that there's still an NCOP processes and the processes by the president to accent. So things as they are, we might not meet the deadline, so we must try and save on whatever time we have. So I'm just asking for permission that immediately, if the bill comes, is referred to us when we have adjourned as Parliament, that I'd be given a permission to give a permission to the Secretariat to advertise.
Certainly, no problem.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, honourable members. The meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.